We have one more reader, and I'm very proud to introduce Jeffrey Beam. Jeffrey.
Now, when I talk, it is not just to say this or that, but it is to say what is between. Over there, under the sycamore, runs the argumentative periwinkle, the blue eye of southern spring. Over there, the whistle of chickadee and bluebird. Here swings the rightful cadence of the blues, the melancholic swarm of words thick with dribble and slang. To my own self be true, to say what is between. The periwinkle, the chickadee. That's a poem from an unpublished book called The Broken Flower. And as a young child, even, I spent a lot of time outdoors listening for the music that was going between the chickadee and the sycamore, and trying to come to understand the relationship between the material, physical world and the spiritual world. And that's really is where my poetry resides. John Clare once said that he found his poems in the fields and wrote them down. And Miguel Hernandez confirmed that by saying that a lemon tree in his garden was more important to his poetry than all the poetry ever written. This next poem is a poem that I wrote when I was probably 17 or 18 years old. It appears in my first book. And you can see even then I was obsessed with the same theme that runs through my poems. And still one of my favorite poems is called Shedding the Old Self. In silences adored in silkened embrace, I shed my body, its skin a fragrant paper shell and narcissus. I shed it again and again under the old motherly moon. I shed it in dreaming's womb, and always it remains the same, wrinkled and smooth. Soft body of sunflowers, body of iris, blue and yellow body, you taste and smell of olives and geraniums. With the strength of stones you settle on the earth, and I shed you like light on a mountain under the sea, or a robe fresh woven, falling gracefully to the ground. The central section to that book, The Golden Legend, is a group of poems written by for Albrecht Dürer's Etchings and Woodcuts. And it also brings another thing that sort of runs through my poetry, which are poems that are responses to visual art and also sort of an obsession with the Renaissance and the medieval period of history. This poem is called Saint Jerome in His Study. And in the etching, Saint Jerome is sitting in his monastery cell and the light is streaming in through the window. And in this poem, Saint Jerome is speaking. There is a jar buried beneath the cloister with five words I have kept in my pocket all my life. Solitude and wisdom, light and virtue, and a shadow of pain with thick lips drinking from a cup. Once in the gardens, I watched a sparrow carry a blue silence to the mountains. It was a rosy sorrow I caught there, an underground rolling of pure water, life's everlasting dahlia, sacred. How the sunlight sweetens the room, all I own, written in the very boards. What I have given away, what comes to me. The mangled flesh of fish in a basket, a weaving staccato watering my soul. The almond, a taste I will never forget. Brown, beautifully simple. The first apartment that my partner and I had here in Chapel Hill 25 years ago was in the basement of a sort of a slummy house that had been turned into a triplex. And we discovered when we moved in that there was a hive of bees in the ceiling of the kitchen. So when we would flick the light on, bees would come out of the light fixture. And of course, as a poet, I was quite fascinated by it, but I'm also highly allergic to bee stings. So we hired somebody to come and take the hive. And I was waiting for the beekeeper to come, and the hive swarmed. And I was able to observe the swarm come through a tiny little hole in the cinder block and out. Well, that developed an obsession about what happens in the beehive, and also curiosity about the relationship between the bee civilization and human civilization, the similarities and the dissimilarities. There are 12 poems now in this book. The book is 25 years later, still trying to be written. And one of the great blessings of it was that just a few years ago, a singer in New York commissioned the noted composer Lee Hoiby to set 5 of the poems to music. And as a result of that, I was able to go to Carnegie Hall and recite these poems on the stage at Carnegie in the same program with the songs, and then later appear on the CD, which was a studio recording of that program. So I want to do 4 of the 5 poems from that sequence, from the life of the bee. The first poem is called Millennium Approaches. That the world is painfully beautiful, painfully sad. That spent blossoms recall earth under which they once slept, remembering air into which they now fall. Even before some of the poems were set to music, I was already describing it as a voice opera because some of the creatures, the inhabitants of the beehive, developed their own voices and were sort of pushing those voices on me as I was reading them. This is one of those. It's called The Sting, and it's the worker bee poem.
With great stealth and smoke approach our dome, for if not, a flame, dry and burning, a dazzling destruction, even momentary, will greet you. You who threaten, let this pin prick, this red fever bite, be a warning. In our Saracen tunnels we hold our own, asking nothing.
And the queen bee, too, developed her own voice. And when I first started doing the queen bee, it was very campy. But she soon took hold of the nape of my neck and said, I'm not just some queen, but I am rather the queen of the universe. She became much more the great goddess, in the triumphant great goddess, the goddess of age and wisdom, who does indeed create and destroy. And interestingly enough, when Lee Hoiby set this poem to music, he did it very much in the sense of Queen Elizabeth. When the music begins playing, you can feel Queen Elizabeth I walking onto stage with a great ruff around her neck. The queen bee herself taught me how to read this poem. It's called Ars Poetica, The Queen.
In collaboration with my others, I build this hive. As I am goddess, this then is my cathedral, built of wax and lives, of light and honey. It grows around me. My first sensation was of yellow, a hum forcing my skin to see. Since then, I have sung the praises of this operation and counted the mysteries, storing my jewelry jewels.
And then the swarm. First, the miraculous droning, sibilant dances directing and thumping, buzzing in the foundation, snipping and cutting the green air. A great muffled drum, the chorus tenses. The sibyls pour out in a drunken jet to sing it. The bee flock, the thunder polliners, who tell Exodus in a roaring tissue, their matriarch with them throbbing, exalt, exalt, up to the pear tree. Then from the mass molten with magnetism and cracks, a yawn explodes, clumps to the pear limb, and silences. Even now, scouts shuttle through the branches, making fiery mummery to the sun, inciting compass. The fathoming nucleus waits for the telling. This is a thing, some say, men will not do. And certainly, the last few years under our current administration, we've seen that, yes, indeed, men don't do things in a mass movement, in a mass madness. The Mother Goddess appears again with snakes in her hands. In ancient Crete, if you've ever seen a picture of the snake goddess from Crete, she's holding her arms up like this with two writhing snakes in her hand. And this poem is dedicated to her in that form. The snake, of course, is one of the great powerful images which we have relegated to evil, when actually it is an image of great wisdom and healing and power. And this is simply just a snake also on the creek bed along my house. Snake in autumn. I could have stood there until the creek dried up, curling and uncoiling. I was that happy and that terrified. The snake silent. The coiling and uncoiling, silent. Both blessed and troubled, I radiant in my red and blue heats before him. The yellow came from him, a golden mesmerizing eye. Between us the creek flowing, coiling and uncoiling. One of my books is called Visions of Dame Kind, and the vision of Dame Kind, according to W. H. Auden, is one of the four Protestant paths of mystical illumination, in which the mystic, or in this case the poet, wishes to be absorbed completely by Mother Nature, Dame Kind, Dame Kind, as she was known in the medieval period. And so I wrote this little book of little poems. This poem is one of the thematic poems of the book. It's called Findings, and it alludes to a poem by D.H. Lawrence. Lawrence also wrote a number of very short poems, just a handful, but they're really quite wonderful, sometimes only three or four lines long, like the poems that I wrote. And in one of his, he talks about bringing together hydrogen and oxygen, but that you wouldn't have water without the third thing. And so in my poem, I also mention the third thing. It's called Findings. I took the apple from where it fell and went down under the grass, under the pasture's last wave of goldenrod light, where the mole's inner sanctum lies, and the apple seed is a bead of sweat under the cool earth. I found there the sun and the third thing. So I mentioned our current administration, and I have to say, whenever I get a chance to say this in public, that I am ashamed to be an American. I've never thought I would be ashamed to be an American, and I hope that things will change soon. I thought when we got Nixon out of office that I would never have to worry again about freedom of religion, freedom of self, freedom, period. And it is all in great danger now for lots of different reasons. And it's not just because of people being tortured in prisons, but because that we are now an imperialist, aggressive nation, which I once thought that the Russians were wrong when they called us that. But I see that they were right. So I wanted to sing a song for you. It's not a song of mine. It's a song by Joni Mitchell, and it was a important song during the 70s protest movements. It's called The Fiddle and the Drum. And so once again, my dear Johnny, my dear friend, and so once again, you are fighting us all. And when I ask you why, you raise your sticks and cry, and I follow, my friend. How did you come to trade the fiddle for the drum? You say I have turned like the enemies you've earned, but I can remember all the good things you are. And so I ask you, please, can I help you find the peace and the star? Oh, my friend, what time is this to trade the handshake for the fist? And so once again, oh, America, my friend, and so once again, you are fighting us all. And when we ask you why, you raise your sticks and cry, and we follow, my friend. How did you come to trade the fiddle for the drum? You say we have turned like the enemies you've earned, but I can remember all the good things you are. And so we ask you, please, can we help you find the peace and the star? Oh, my friend, we have all come to fear the beating of your drum. I want to close with one poem. John the Baptist has become emblematic to me of the poet, someone who acts as sort of a conduit between the higher planes of existence and the lower, the material, physical world, and the spiritual. He says in the Gospel of John, the one who comes from above is over all, but he who is earthly belongs to the earth and speaks to the earth. All that we can do in this world is try to recognize the divinity that permeates it. And in order to do that, we need to hold in great reverence all life, all religions, all ways of being, and to see the light that's inside of everything. John the Baptist. In Andrea del Sarto's painting of Saint John, the voice crying from the wilderness is soft and pliant, wreathed by ivy in the hair, a natural halo. John's a rugged youth, splendidly smooth and hard, draped royally in holy red and brown. One finger and thumb from the right hand point heavenward, and to the humble thin cross of sticks he carries for a staff. Already the fire of grace illuminates his face, and the coarse curls surround him umbrous and jungled. Why does he then look down, if not to gaze on earth's lovely darkness and the water's clear rinse? For as he points upward, looking down, the whole story is told. The light shining in the darkness, and the darkness which cannot hold. Thank you.
thank you, Jeffrey. That was amazing.